Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Happy Father's Day weekend to everyone. I'm Mark Cox along with Bo Matthews and our producer Carl Middleman.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Bo, how are you?
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Yeah, going to have a good one. Eat some meat. Are you going to eat some meat this weekend, Bo?
Every day, baby, every day. See, you're intrigued, aren't you? You've been hearing me talk about this carnivore diet.
By this diet that you're on.
It's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. I'm not going to bore you with it right now. We'll talk off air about it. But anytime you bring it up, people are intrigued of why, and oh my gosh, you're going to kill yourself with clogging your arteries. Believe me, there's a lot of good information out there from doctors and other people. But yeah, Father's Day weekend. Are you going to be grilling some meat?
I that's a really good question. We'll probably just go out to dinner somewhere, to be honest with you. I don't know. I ditched my grill the other day when I was cleaning out my house. We brought a dumpster into the driveway to thin things out because we're in the process of moving.
And Michelle Cox got to throw everything that Mark needed away.
We filled a 20-yard dumpster with stuff I've accumulated the last 20 years.
And how much of her stuff got tossed?
Some of it. I got to looking at this grill, and it was rusted, and it was going to need all new gear, junk on the inside of it, and I started looking at the back of it and saw more rust, and I'm like, I'm just going to start over. So I ditched it. Yeah. So I don't
new house, new grill.
I don't currently have a grill, but I'm going to be in the market to buy one.
Was there a report? Didn't you tell me that Carl's wife had a bunch of Star Wars stuff she was throwing in your dumpster?
I did hear she drive by and dump some stuff in there. If yes. Carl's now going to head to divorce court,
upset my child because every time my wife threatens that, she says, "That's my inheritance. You leave that alone."
That's the retirement plan,
yes,
right?
It absolutely is. So, yeah, Bo, it's bring your dog to work a week for me. I've been bringing my dog in every day because my wife and my daughter are out of town. So the dog's just kind of hanging out, and everybody's loving it. She's getting lots of snacks.
She's well-behaved, by the way.
Thank you, Carl. Well, golden retriever.
What does the company say? Anything?
Nobody here minds. Everyone loves the dog. And the funny thing about it is that, you know, I guess different workplaces have different rules on that, right? There was a while back when when we first moved over here, maybe 6 years ago, there was somebody in the building who was pretty allergic to dogs who had apparently raised Cain with HR. And for a period of time, like, they couldn't even bring in the Humane Society to promote their dog of the week because they didn't want dogs in the building.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The individual in question has since left the company, and now everybody loves the fact that that you bring your dog in occasionally. So it's worked out
I think people, when I see people at like the big box stores, Home Depot or Lowe's, and their, you know, farm stores, you know, you normally can bring your dog. I think that's awesome, but I always think, you know, you got your security right there with you. You may be carrying a firearm, but you've also got that dog, and that dog can be intimidating. Now, is your dog an intimidating dog? I mean, I've seen it look soft and cute, and it's a beautiful dog.
Thank you.
But does it protect you?
No. It's a golden retriever.
She's very
She's primarily friendly. Interested in who's going to pet her or give her a snack next or rub her belly.
That's right.
She has no interest in protecting you. Now, she'll bark occasionally if she looks out the door and sees another dog, but I've never seen her aggressive, ever.
Are you that guy that goes through the big box stores with your dog?
We have taken her up there before, mostly for training because we're trying to train her to do better in public. But I wouldn't go out of my way to take her up there, no.
Yeah, no, people do it all the time sometimes. And it's anything from a teacup, whatever, yes, to a giant dog. It's like, come on, just do your shopping. I mean, really?
Well, I don't know about you, but my wife is that person who cannot walk past a dog. If she sees somebody else with a dog, she wants to go over and ask permission to pet the dog. I don't know how people feel about that. Most people are pretty cool about it because if they got their dog with them, they love them anyway.
Right.
If you're going to a place in public like that with a dog that could potentially bite someone, I think that's not very smart on your part, liability wise. But my wife is that person. She's the one that has never passed a dog without saying, "Oh, look at that puppy," and wanting to go over and pet it. Right? I'm always, you better ask permission first.
I think you can go onto Amazon and buy a service dog vest.
We have one.
So you could then bring your dog into a restaurant. They can't tell you.
Well, not to lie about it. I mean, we bought it because we were going to get her certified like as an anxiety dog or something, which is
different. Oh, were you really? Oh,
which
that's
different
cool.
than, you know, the permission you need, like the doctor's permit to get her on a plane or something. But, you know, I don't know. We've got the vest, but she doesn't wear it. So,
because she's not trained for it.
Exactly. She didn't have the certification for it. But you can
buy
those.
But it's a great idea, especially with that breed.
And who's going to ask? Who's going to question you, right?
Yeah.
Throw that on there. People, get out of your way, for sure.
Put them on the plane with you.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, a little later, we're going to talk to the folks from Gun Owners of America about the Hunter Biden case. Speaking of a Biden, though, before we get to all that, did you hear the president of the United States this week? He was out pandering for votes to some gun-grabbing organization up on the East Coast. And he reiterated his hatred of the founders of this country. Carl, could you play that bite for us, please?
I can.
They want to think is to take on government if we get out of line, which they're talking again about. Well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle. Folks, look, this is crazy what we're talking about.
It's crazy to have him say that again, because didn't he say that a year or two ago?
He said it during the election in 2020. I mean, he repeats the same talking point every time. Do you think you can beat the United States military? You'll need more than an AR-15.
Unbelievable. To me, that is just poking anybody that is a Second Amendment supporter in the chest.
He is.
But he wants to take somebody, you know, he wants to take Trump out behind the barn, right?
He acts thinks, like a bad guy. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's like Robert De Niro. He's got little man syndrome.
Oh, man. Yeah, with his lifts he was wearing.
Well, but, you know, the argument there is, I wonder if King George felt like that. The reason our founders put that in was because the question of tyranny. And, you know, if you have the people should have a right to rise up against tyranny. And look at all of the countries where they've given up that, forsaken that right across Europe.
What qualifies as tyranny? I mean, legitimately, is it just the heart of a man, or is there something that is? I mean, can you Google it? I've never Googled. You know, what is the qualifications for tyranny?
Yeah, what you know, it's like you could probably come up with a laundry list of allegations against a government or a politician for, you know, violating your Fifth Amendment rights or your Second Amendment rights or your First Amendment rights, and when you've had enough. You dump the tea in the harbor and you say enough. I mean, we haven't come to that point in this country, but for this man to consistently get up and taunt you and say, you can't fight back against the government, well, that's why we have a Second Amendment, is that we hope it never comes to that again. But if it does, we're the first people in the history of the world to be prepared for that. Our founders ensured that we're prepared for that if it would ever come to that.
How about quit doing things that are tyrannical?
Thank you.
How about that? How about, you know, stop flooding this country with illegals, not knowing who they are? And, of course, this week they rounded up, what, 8 supposed ISIS-K terrorists, legitimate? How many did they not find? How many did they, you know, do they not have in their sights? I was actually just happy to hear the FBI was actually doing something to protect the, you know, the interior of this country, because who knows who has come across this southern border? It makes no sense. But you think, you know, just standing by and thinking, well, if I can't buy an F-15 or whatever, I guess I don't need a rifle.
I can't fight back. I can't do anything at all. So just in case you're worried, I think we're okay, because Joe Biden also proved this week that he's as confused now as ever.
You can't be pro-law enforcement and say you are pro-law enforcement and be pro-abolishing the AFT.
You know what he's talking about? I think that's supposed to be ATF.
ATF, yeah.
Which,
yeah,
of course, is a better acronym for a convenience store than a federal agency. is how I've always looked at it.
Are you going to be popping the popcorn on debate night? Do you think the debate's even going to happen?
I do. And we're hosting an event out at Dave and Buster's that night, so it should be a good time to watch and drink a cold beverage and have a good time.
I will never watch a debate with anybody but my wife. We had a watch party in 2016 with Trump and Hillary. Oh, it took us 5 hours to get through that debate because we kept pausing and going, oh, my God. So, yeah, I won't be at Dave and Buster's. Sorry.
Coming up, we're going to get to the outdoors portion of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. We're going to talk about the boat races coming up on the river over in Alton. We'll be right back. Hey,
on the boat. Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, I just can't wait to get on the boat again.
Wow, I love that.
I've never heard that song.
I've never heard
that
before. Yeah, me neither.
Jake Owen.
I've never heard that in my life. Well, I should know that. I'm a huge Jake Owen fan.
I'm a huge boat fan.
This is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Are you a boat owner?
I was. I had a boat for a long time and towed it all over the place and then parked it at the Lake of the Ozarks for a little while and then had a baby a few years back and didn't have an air conditioner on it, so we ended up selling it because it was too hot in the summer to put the baby on it. So wish I kept it.
The one thing they fail on like pontoon boats is to have a bathroom. You know, you got to go back to the shore or get in the water. Yeah, maybe if you're spending high dollar, but... Anyway, yeah. I'll tell you where they don't have a bathroom. That is on these power boats that are going to be racing in Alton in the Midwest Championship. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Corey Jobe, the president and CEO of the Great Rivers and Routes Tourism Bureau of Illinois, to discuss the F1 Powerboat Alton Midwest Championship racing. This is coming on quick. Welcome to the show, Corey. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me this morning.
Everything coming together for the big event, June 21st through the 23rd?
Everything is coming together. We're really excited. This is the first time we've brought powerboat racing to the Mississippi River since the early 90s.
Wow.
And my. So it's really exciting. It'll be Friday, June 21st. It'll be the test runs and trials, and then we'll be racing all day Saturday and all day Sunday, June 22nd and 23rd.
So, Corey, you know, Bo has actually been on one of these boats before. I've not had the pleasure of doing that. But are there any particular challenges to doing it on a river as opposed to a lake?
Oh, absolutely. There are. But, you know, we've coordinated very closely with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Coast Guard, and we're permitted, ready to go. And this has been done before on a river, but obviously not here in the Midwest. But, these boats go upwards of 120 miles an hour, and we're really excited. We've had a lot of interest. We're expecting upwards over the weekend 20 to 25,000 spectators. It'll probably be one of the largest events on the Alton Riverfront in quite some time.
Good for you. So is this the same kind of boats that you'd see out at Creve Coeur Lake or yes. on the Merrimack? Same group, right?
It is the same group, yes.
I'm going to just throw this out there for Mark, because I've already done it, and I was too big for the cockpit, but they did get me in there. They just had to jump on the lid and lock it down. Like the Blue Angels were just in, and I think it was Annie Fry that got to ride in the Blue Angels plane. Can we get Mark on a press ride or something like that?
Well, let me talk to the crew over at F1. That could be possible. If you guys are available next Friday, we might be able to make that happen.
Mark shaking his head no. Why would you say no?
I don't know, man. I've seen some of that. I don't know if I got the. I'd almost rather go up in a jet. Those boats are moving on that water.
Oh man.
So Corey, back to the crowd you're expecting down there.
Yep.
when I've been to the powerboat, the offshore racing down at the Lake of the Ozarks, the big boats down there, everybody who's got a boat who lives on the lake kind of parks on the periphery and watches it. Is that different on the river?
That will be a bit different on the river. There will be some access points north and south to come in to the river, but there will definitely be a security around the track itself or the course itself on the water. But we'll have some boaters out there looking and watching and taking part in the race. But yes, there will be ways to get in. All that information, we have map resources, the course layout, those sorts of things, the do's and don'ts for the weekend over on our website.
Well, it is a blast. Like I said, I've seen them before. I've ridden in them before, and it's just exciting. But, you know, I can't help but think about all the times that I've, you know, gone over the Mississippi and thought, wow, look at all them logs in the water. How do you get all that cleared out so the boats don't, you know, engage with them?
Yeah, I'm leaving that all to the experts at the U.S. Army Corps and the, and the Coast Guard. I'm the marketing arm, and you know, it's my job to tell everybody about it and how to access VIP tickets, and you know, we're really excited. We think it's going to be they're here for a 1 year run, but we're hoping this will be a multi-year engagement with Tim and his team at F1 Powerboat, and we're really excited to be able to utilize the river to drive a lot of visitors here for a weekend event, and look forward to it.
So it's referred to as the Alton Midwest Championship. Are there competitors that have had to qualify to get into this? How does that work?
There's several, you know, racers that run on a circuit, but there's different levels of racing. So we'll obviously have the big boys out there, but there's different sizes of boats. And yes, they run on a circuit and qualify. And those racers will be a part of this weekend.
Well, I know that you're going to say all the information's on this website, riversandroutes.com/events, but is it a ticketed event? Do you charge for that, or can you just park along the river road and still get a good view?
Well, there are a few ways. There are VIP tent tickets. There's also grandstand tickets. There's a grandstand area. But you can just park at designated park and walk or park and shuttle lots around Alton, and walk in. There'll be vendor booths. There'll be food, beverages, those sorts of things. And so if you want a comfy seat in the grandstands area that we're going to be setting up, you can do that. If you want a VIP experience, you can do that, and tickets are still available. Or you can just park and walk in and take advantage of hopefully a beautiful weekend, probably a little warm because it is the start of summer next week. But that information is all on the website that you mentioned as well.
Well, what a better way to spend it than on the river if it's going to be hot anyway, right?
exactly.
Yeah, because I wonder, I mean, maybe everybody listening to us right now has already been up to Alton in the past few years, and they've seen how beautiful that area is on the Alton Riverfront now. But if you haven't been up there in a while, for whatever reason, I mean, I love what they've done with the marina and the amphitheater and all of that space up there.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And we just, for the first time in over 15 years, we're going to relight the Clark Bridge. LED lighting that you see over at over in St. Louis, over at the soccer stadium and other places. So that's going to be also a unique added experience. I think we're going to, they tested the lights this week, and they'll be in full force the week of the 4th of July. But another exciting thing to bring you across the Clark Bridge and come on over to Alton.
Alton's a great place.
What's the average price of one of these boats? Do you have any idea, Corey? I mean, how much money are they putting into these things these days?
I don't know, but I don't think they're cheap.
No, but I'll bet not, just for the engines alone, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, something else we're doing that I should mention, you know, the racing is the 21st through the 23rd. Full schedule events on the website that you mentioned. But we're also, I don't know if you remember the iconic Mississippi River Festival that took place over at SIUE from 69 to 81. there's a group that's reviving the Mississippi River Festival, and there's a new direction of it, and that Mississippi River Festival will take place on Saturday night. Gates open at 5 at the Alton Amphitheater, and run concerts will run to 11 p.m. So not only are we going to have high-speed racing, we're also going to have some great bands headlined by Larkin Poe, a Grammy Award winner, award-winning duo that's kind of a bluesy country, Terry Bryant and the Shakedown, St. Louis band Feel, and the 90s band Fastball will all be performing at the Alton Amphitheater on Saturday night. And tickets are still available, general admission, VIP. So it's going to be a fun, packed weekend here in Alton.
Yeah, it sure
Yeah, the efforts that you guys put into that riverfront experience is outstanding. And on the website, I noticed there is a VIP, Rooster Tail VIP experience that you can get. I don't know if they're sold out yet, but as people are planning their weekends out, and I'm a let's do this next weekend. I've never planned 2-3 months out on vacations. It's always like, hey, okay, I'm going to have the weekend open. It really is going to be a great family event as well. And you are urging people to bring their lawn chairs if they're not doing the Rooster Tail VIP experience. But leave your coolers at home because you're going to have the beer and soda cold on tap, right?
That is correct. You can bring lawn chairs, no pop-up tents, no coolers. We will be checking bags at the gates. But, yeah, we've got a lot of big open grass spots. But, again, if you want a VIP experience or some seating in the grandstands, those tickets are still available, and you can purchase all that online. If you just head over to riversandroutes.com, search F1 Powerboat, it'll take you to a great landing page with all sorts of details for the weekend and ticket information.
So, Corey, food trucks and the like down there as well?
Oh, absolutely. Food trucks, beer trucks, cold beverages, you name it. We'll have it available.
Well, we direct people to riversandroutes.com/events. You can get all the information you need and your tickets and all that right in one easy location.
I looked up what a powerboat, an F1 powerboat, costs.
Yes, Carl. Uh-oh.
They start at $125,000.
Less than I thought to be at.
Well, that's where they start.
Well, that's I'm sure.
I mean, gas is.
You want gas? You want it painted? You want a steering wheel?
That's why you have sponsors.
It's the base model price.
It's like NASCAR on water.
Every boat owner knows that, man. Everything comes at a price for sure.
Good stuff. Hey, doing a great job of getting people to come up and visit the riverfront and the River Road. Man, there's so much up there with Fast Eddie's and the Argosy Casino. I mean, they've been out there for so long, and should be a great, great time for anybody that comes and visits Alton, and definitely good for the Tourism Bureau.
It is great for the tourism economy. Very few hotel rooms are left in Alton, but the region has some lifts still available, but come on up, enjoy the weekend, hit the River Road, go to Grafton, go to Fast Eddie's here in Alton, and enjoy some high-speed racing on the riverfront.
Excellent. Corey, Job, thank you very much for your time, and best of luck with the event.
Hey, guys, thank you. Have a good day.
You bet. Corey there with the Great Rivers and Roots Tourism Bureau, and that's going to be a good time. 21st to the 23rd.
And I will tell you that if you get up there early, or if you ever go up to Alton, Mark, I would encourage you to go to Joe Kay's restaurant. It's not near the riverfront. You got to go up the hill to it. But Joe Kay used to be the executive chef at the Argosy Casino where I met him.
Okay.
Dude is a great guy and killing it. He's a Corvette guy, too.
Oh, wow.
But he's killing it up there. So a shout out to Joe Kay.
Excellent. Hey, coming up here on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Of course, we talk about guns and a lot. Gun Owners of America is going to join us here to talk about the Hunter Biden case and the underlying statute. Of course, he lied on his form 4473. We're going to get to that next. We'll be right back.
It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox and Bo Matthews here, and our executive producer extraordinaire, Carl Middleman,
pew,
is on the job. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armor. I was actually just in Razorback this week looking for a new magazine, an extra magazine, for one of my firearms. Of course, They had it. And then out the door I went. But if you haven't ever been, go into Razorback Armory. They're on Manchester Road, just east of 270, next to the tennis shop. You'll see that first. But stop on in and see Jesse and Brad and the crew, and they'll take good care of you, especially if you want to suppress a firearm or you want to get something really elaborate. They're the guys. Go to RazorbackArmory.com.
Hey, Bo Matthews, did you ask if they have one of them their magazines that holds 200 shells? Did you hear Joe Biden say that this week?
Yeah.
That guy. No, who needs a gun actually, that holds 200 shells?
Razorback needs to be selling the F-15s. That's what they need to be selling.
Yeah, no kidding. Need to market a few of those F-15s. Joe says we're going to need those if we ever have to fight the government. I mean, what a smack in the face from this guy. I mean, talk about emulating King George. Go ahead and tell me we can't defeat your standing army. First of all, the Constitution was written to protect us from tyranny. Don't be a tyrant, and you won't face that problem.
So at what level of tyranny do you have to get to?
It's a good question. So I've seen T-shirts that say our forefathers would have been firing shots by now. I don't know how people wow. feel about that. But, you know, your rights have been trampled on to just so much. I mean, and we have to listen to this guy, like, you know, poke the bear and say, well, you need a semi-automatic sporting rifle. That's not going to defeat the army. It's insulting, is what it is. I'm amazed that this guy's our president. I just have to say, nothing that comes out of his mouth surprises me though. And often we turn to our friends at Gun Owners of America when we talk about these gun issues because they are the experts. Steven Stambulia is with us this morning, counsel for Gun Owners of America, and we're going to talk a little bit about convicted felon Hunter Biden, who was convicted this week, and the underlying law that he was convicted on, which a lot of people have issues with, including our friends at Gun Owners. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you all?
Yeah, we're doing well. Thank you for giving us some time this morning. We appreciate that. So Hunter Biden was found guilty of lying on his form 4473, the background check form, because he was using or lied about using illegal drugs or being an addict at the time he applied for his background check, right, to buy the gun.
Right. He has two false statement charges and then, of course, being an unlawful user in possession of a firearm. So three total charges.
Three total charges. And I mean, he could face jail time. I don't know that he will as a first-time offender. I guess I'd be a little surprised if that's what he gets sentenced to. And this week, the White House said that they don't plan to pardon him, but they didn't rule out commuting the sentence at some point. Any thoughts on that?
I cannot imagine Joe Biden not pardoning Hunter. I cannot imagine that not happening. It probably won't be before the election, but you know, even if he wins or loses, it doesn't matter. Like, Hunter Biden is going to get a pardon.
I think you're right. I mean, and I'm looking at what Bill Clinton did, and a lot of presidents have done pardons even as they walked out the door of the White House. So eventually,
sure,
you could see it happening. If Biden's a lame duck, it doesn't matter whether he said he would do it or wouldn't do it. He can do it, and nobody can do anything about it. So
no one could do a thing about it.
You know, I don't know. And as a father, would I be tempted to do the same thing for my own son if I had the power? I mean, I guess that would float through the back of your mind somewhere.
Well, it's not even would I do it. I have a daughter. I would 100% do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, he talks about Bo all the time, and I know Hunter is like the black sheep of the family doing all the drugs and getting his brother's widow to do drugs with him and just do a bunch of nasty, despicable stuff. But that doesn't change the fact that Joe Biden's his father and he has the power to do something to set his son free. If he doesn't do it, it's, you know, telling.
Yeah. Okay. So during sentencing, whenever that happens, Stephen, did I hear correctly that he could be sentenced to 25 years in prison? Is that correct?
Yeah, he could be sentenced to 25 years in prison, and he could get a $750,000 fine for these types of crimes. That's generally not what happens. But I'll tell you, the being an unlawful user in possession of a firearm does result in jail time in the cases that I've reviewed. There was a case in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where a black gentleman was pulled over. He had admitted to having smoked pot like a week or two before he was pulled over, and the cops arrested him because he had a gun and charged him with being an unlawful user in possession. And he got, if I remember correctly, about 18 to 20, 24 months in prison. So if Hunter Biden receives no jail time, then that would be a break from what DOJ typically does. And I don't think, or seeks, I should say, because the judge is the one that's going to sentence him. And I would expect Hunter to get jail time in this, or else you're going to see a multi-tiered justice system. The thing that we all say is actually happening, you're going to see that, you know, in black and white.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and because we're seeing it happen in real time.
Right.
Yeah. My guess is that they're acutely aware of that, too, of what it's going to look like if other people have been sentenced to jail for it and he's not in this particular case. Stephen, let's talk, though, about the underlying statute here. So I've talked to a lot of people who have issues with this particular question on the Form 4473. How long has it been there? What's the history of this in terms of this being on that form and how it ended up on there?
It's not an old prohibition. So you recall in 2022, the Supreme Court announced its opinion in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin, right?
Right.
That case set out a test when you evaluate a Second Amendment challenge, saying you had to look back to the founding, 1791, when the amendments were ratified, and had to look at whether or not whatever firearm regulation has a historical tradition. So in 1791, did we prohibit people who were intoxicated? Because, you know, I don't think that we had crack cocaine in 1791, but we had a variety of intoxicants, you
sure.
know, liquor. We had marijuana. They called it hemp, but we still had a bunch of different intoxicants, laudanum, things like that. So did our founders prohibit people who used intoxicants, maybe not during the time that they were carrying or possessing firearms, but around that time from being a prohibited person? The answer to that is no. The Fifth Circuit, Mississippi, Texas, and Louisiana Court of Appeals said this is unconstitutional. This 922 G3, which is the unlawful user statute, was unconstitutional as applied to a person who was an unlawful user of a controlled substance, because there was no historical tradition. So GOA, Gun Owners of America, believes that the law is unconstitutional. And if you apply the Fifth Circuit's ruling to Hunter Biden's case, then the law is unconstitutional as applied to him, because, again, going back to 1791 and the founding of the ratification of the amendments and the founding of the country, we didn't prohibit people who were unlawful users of possessing or maintaining a firearm. Now, if that statute's unconstitutional, then him lying about it is not material to the fact of him buying a firearm. Therefore, those convictions get tossed as well.
Wow.
So then he's a free man. Because, you know, the thing about lying, it has to be material to the thing that you're trying to do. So, you know, if he's going to buy a gun and the guy's like, oh, is it raining outside? And you say no, but it in fact is raining. Well, that's not material to buying a firearm. So, this, you know, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, no, of course.
I get it.
Yeah. So if he's like, if the statute's unconstitutional, G3 is unconstitutional, then him lying about it's also, it just doesn't matter because it's not material to the transaction.
And is that challenge ongoing right now? Is it going to get to the Supreme Court at some point?
The government has appealed Daniels. I don't know. I haven't seen if it has gone anywhere yet. The Supreme Court's very busy with some cases, so I don't know what they're doing with that.
Right. Interesting, because you'd think they would look at it. So it speaks to me, it speaks to the bigger issue of whether you agree with marijuana use or drug use or whatever the case may be. It's currently illegal federally to smoke. If you smoke marijuana, if you buy it legally at a dispensary in Illinois or Missouri or whatever state you happen to be in where it's legal, if you go in there and you check no on that form like Hunter did, you're guilty of what Hunter Biden just did.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, there's a bunch of cases. Well, I say cases. I don't think anyone has sued over it yet. But states like Hawaii, like the commie states, right?
It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox and Bo Matthews here, and our executive producer extraordinaire, Carl Middleman,
pew, pew, is
on the job. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armor. I was actually just in Razorback this week looking for a new magazine, an extra magazine for one of my firearms. Of course, they had it. And then out the door I went. But if you haven't ever been, go into Razorback Armory. They're on Manchester Road, just east of 270, next to the tennis shop. You'll see that first. But stop on in and see Jesse and Brad and the crew, and they'll take good care of you, especially if you want to suppress a firearm or you want to get something really elaborate. They're the guys. Go to RazorbackArmory.com.
Hey, Bo Matthews, did you ask if they have one of them there magazines that holds 200 shells? Did you hear Joe Biden say that this week?
Yeah.
That guy. That guy. No, who needs a gun actually, that holds 200 shells?
Razorback needs to be selling the F-15. That's what they need to be selling.
Yeah, no kidding. Need to market a few of those F-15s. Joe says we're going to need those if we ever have to fight the government. I mean, what a smack in the face from this guy. I mean, talk about emulating King George. Go ahead and tell me we can't defeat your standing army. First of all, the Constitution was written to protect us from tyranny. Don't be a tyrant, and you won't face that problem.
So at what level of tyranny do you have to get to?
It's a good question. So I've seen T-shirts that say our forefathers would have been firing shots by now. I don't know how people wow. feel about that. But, you know, your rights have been trampled on to just so much. I mean, and we have to listen to this guy, like, you know, poke the bear and say, well, you need a semi-automatic sporting rifle. That's not going to defeat the army. It's insulting is what it is. I'm amazed that that this guy's our president. I just have to say, nothing that comes out of his mouth surprises me, though. And often we turn to our friends at Gun Owners of America when we talk about these gun issues because they are the experts. Stephen Stambulia is with us this morning, counsel for Gun Owners of America. And we're going to talk a little bit about convicted felon Hunter Biden, who was convicted this week, and the underlying law that he was convicted on, which a lot of people have issues with, including our friends at Gun Owners. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you all?
Yeah, we're doing well. Thank you for giving us some time this morning. We appreciate that. So Hunter Biden was found guilty of lying on his form 4473, the background check form, because he was using or lied about using illegal drugs or being an addict at the time he applied for his background check, right, to buy the gun.
Right. He has two false statement charges and then, of course, being an unlawful user in possession of a firearm. So three total charges.
Three total charges. And I mean, he could face jail time. I don't know that he will as a first-time offender. I guess I'd be a little surprised if that's what he gets sentenced to. And this week, the White House said that they don't plan to pardon him, but they didn't rule out commuting the sentence at some point. Any thoughts on that?
I cannot imagine Joe Biden not pardoning Hunter. I cannot imagine that not happening. It probably won't be before the election, but you know, even if he wins or loses, it doesn't matter. Like, Hunter Biden is going to get a pardon.
I think you're right. I mean, and I'm looking at what Bill Clinton did, and a lot of presidents have done pardons even as they walked out the door of the White House. So eventually,
sure,
you could see it happening. If Biden's a lame duck, it doesn't matter whether he said he would do it or wouldn't do it. He can do it, and nobody can do anything about it. So
No one could do a thing about it.
You know, I don't know. And as a father, would I be tempted to do the same thing for my own son if I had the power? I mean, I guess that would float through the back of your mind somewhere.
Well, it's not even would I do it. I have a daughter. I would 100% do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, he talks about Bo all the time. And I know Hunter is like the black sheep of the family doing all the drugs and getting his brother's widow to do drugs with him and just do a bunch of nasty, despicable stuff. But that doesn't change the fact that Joe Biden's his father and he has the power to do something to set his son free. If he doesn't do it, it's, you know, telling.
Yeah. Okay. So during sentencing, whenever that happens, Stephen, did I hear correctly that he could be sentenced to 25 years in prison? Is that correct?
Yeah, he could be sentenced to 25 years in prison, and he could get a $750,000 fine for these for these types of crimes, that's generally not what happens. But I'll tell you, the being an unlawful user in possession of a firearm does result in jail time in the cases that I've reviewed. There was a case in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, where a black gentleman was pulled over. He had admitted to having smoked pot like a week or two before he was pulled over, and the cops arrested him because he had a gun and charged him with being an unlawful user in possession. And he got, if I remember correctly, about 18 to 20, 24 months in prison. So if Hunter Biden receives no jail time, then that would be a break from what DOJ typically does. And I don't think, or seeks, I should say, because the judge is the one that's going to sentence him. And I would expect Hunter to get jail time in this, or else you're going to see a multi-tiered justice system. The thing that we all say is actually happening, you're going to see that, you know, in black and white.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and because we're seeing it happen in real time.
Right.
Yeah, my guess is that they're acutely aware of that, too, of what it's going to look like if other people have been sentenced to jail for it and he's not in this particular case. Stephen, let's right. talk, though, about the underlying statute here. So I've talked to a lot of people who have issues with this particular question on the Form 4473. How long has it been there? What's the history of this in terms of this being on that form and how it ended up on there?
It's not an old prohibition. So you recall in 2022, the Supreme Court announced its opinion in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association v. Bruin, right?
Right.
That case set out a test when you evaluate a Second Amendment challenge, saying you had to look back to the founding, 1791, when the amendments were ratified, and had to look at whether or not whatever firearm regulation has a historical tradition. So in 1791, did we prohibit people who were intoxicated? Because, you know, I don't think that we had crack cocaine in 1791, but we had a variety of intoxicants, you
sure.
know, liquor. We had marijuana. They called it hemp, but we still had a bunch of different intoxicants, laudanum, things like that. So did our founders prohibit people who used intoxicants, maybe not during the time that they were carrying or possessing firearms, but around that time from being a prohibited person? The answer to that is no. The Fifth Circuit, Mississippi, Texas, and Louisiana Court of Appeals said this is unconstitutional. This 922 G3, which is the unlawful user statute, was unconstitutional as applied to a person who was an unlawful user of a controlled substance, because there was no historical tradition. So GOA, Gun Owners of America, believes that the law is unconstitutional. And if you apply the Fifth Circuit's ruling to Hunter Biden's case, then the law is unconstitutional as applied to him, because, again, going back to 1791 and the founding of the ratification of the amendments and the founding of the country, we didn't prohibit people who were unlawful users of possessing or maintaining a firearm. Now, if that statute's unconstitutional, then him lying about it is not material to the fact of him buying a firearm. Therefore, those convictions get tossed as well.
Wow.
So then he's a free man. Because, you know, the thing about lying, it has to be material to the thing that you're trying to do. So, you know, if he's going to buy a gun and the guy's like, oh, is it raining outside? And you say no, but it in fact is raining. Well, that's not material to buying a firearm. So, this, you know, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, no, of course.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. So if he's like, if the statute's unconstitutional, G3 is unconstitutional, then him lying about it's also, it just doesn't matter because it's not material to the transaction.
And is that challenge ongoing right now? Is it going to get to the Supreme Court at some point?
The government has appealed Daniels. I don't know. I haven't seen if it has gone anywhere yet. The Supreme Court's very busy with some cases, so I don't know what they're doing with that.
Right. Interesting, because you'd think they would look at it. So it speaks to me, it speaks to the bigger issue of whether you agree with marijuana use or drug use or whatever the case may be. It's currently illegal federally to smoke. If you smoke marijuana, if you buy it legally at a dispensary in Illinois or Missouri or whatever state you happen to be in where it's legal, if you go in there and you check no on that form like Hunter did, you're guilty of what Hunter Biden just did.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, there's a bunch of cases. Well, I say cases. I don't think anyone has sued over it yet. But states like Hawaii, like the commie states, right? Yeah. They have gone back, reviewed their records, and it said if you have a medical marijuana card, you have to divest yourself of your firearms. You have to turn them over because you're presumed to be an unlawful user of a controlled substance. Federal law under the Controlled Substances Act, marijuana is a Schedule I drug, period. Now, they're changing it. But right now, I mean, we don't look at what's going to happen in the future. We look at right now, and right now it's a controlled substance. You cannot smoke pot and have a firearm.
Wow.
Is the question on 4473, is it marijuana specific or is it any illegal drugs?
It's not marijuana specific. Are you addicted to or an unlawful user of a controlled substance is defined in whatever the Controlled Substance Statutes Act is. I'm not sure off the top of my head what the statute is, but it lists them out in the code.
Oh, okay. Well, because I need to look into that. Because I was having a conversation this week with a buddy of mine, and we were talking about, doctor-prescribed antidepressants and all these mind-altering medications that are pumped out there. I mean, it really widens that target of what is, if it's prescribed, it's legal, obviously, but mind-altering could be your antidepressant medication or something. So that target, you know, the government could be looking at that target as getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we can just go after anybody we want.
Yeah, so it's not going to cover things that are prescribed that are not listed in the Controlled Substances Act that you don't have a that I don't know how to say that right. But it's going to, like, Schedule I drugs, right? Like something like marijuana, heroin, crack cocaine that has no medically appreciated value or whatever you want to call it. Those are Schedule I. They're illegal. It doesn't even matter if you have a prescription. So I have a client right now that is trying to get a prescription for marijuana to treat some type of pain that he has from an accident. And he's like, well, I'm going to lose my gun rights. I'm like, well, yeah, you will. You 100% will. However, you know, you're going to have to sue him and you're going to have to go through all this rigmarole just to have your right to keep and bear arms upheld. However, you know, they're reclassifying marijuana. It's either Schedule II or Schedule III. So when that happens, if it goes to Schedule II or Schedule III from the DEA, when you have a doctor's prescription for it, then you're good to go. And you don't become an unlawful user anymore.
And then your hope is just like people with common sense don't drink while they're shooting. You're hoping people aren't smoking while they're shooting, too. I mean, ultimately, that's what you hope for, a little bit of common sense there. We're talking to Stephen Stambulia, who's a counsel with Gun Owners of America, and looking at a lot of these constitutional issues. You know, to me, Stephen, the other challenge here is every time one of these mass shootings happen, I bring this up, you know, this is in almost every one of these cases, it's a mental health problem that needs to be addressed in this country. But the minute you start talking about that, it's a bit of a slippery slope, just like what Bo brought up a minute ago. If somebody has been diagnosed with PTSD or they've been on some sort of drug to control that, are you going to have, the minute you open up that Pandora's box, you're going to have people trying to use that as an excuse to take away somebody's Second Amendment rights?
100%. I mean, they're doing it now just with diagnosis of PTSD from the VA. They're saying, well, you've been diagnosed with PTSD and now you have this diagnosis over your head. And some states will 100% say, well, you can't have your firearms rights now because you were diagnosed with PTSD. That's like the small one. We do have a mental health crisis in this country. I think it was back in the 80s they started this deinstitutionalization process. Yeah. And you see where that's going. You look at places like, well, anywhere. It's all over the place now. It used to be in the hippie places like Hawaii, people just, you know, going out there using drugs. And then, what was it, Oregon decriminalized all drugs now, and they have massive homeless problems. California is the same thing. I mean, it's a mess. They definitely need more mental health treatment.
Well, and you know, just like anything, if Big Pharma is funding something or making money off of it, well, they're gonna try and stay out of that 4473 form, as much as they can. And lobbyists could probably be part of that program to because I mean, we all see these side effects on TV commercials for, let's say antidepressant medications. If you have thoughts of suicide or anger, blah, 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 all these, you know, horrible things. Well, that's altering minds as well, just like bourbon, Mark, or marijuana for other people or any of the other drugs. So whether it's, you know, written on a little pink pad from your doctor or not, there's a lot of stuff out there. Heck, if I go to the Golden Corral and eat too much, I'm going to be mind altered because I can't stop eating.
How much do you eat, Bo Matthews?
Well, now I mean, being a carnivore, it's a whole other world.
Yeah, I'm on carnivore too. It's a great diet.
I'm going to have to try this.
I'm 6 weeks in. Anyway.
I'm almost a year in, 74 pounds down.
Wow. I'm 53 years
old. What? Steven, can I call you? Can I call you off air so we can chat?
Yeah, anytime.
Awesome. Okay.
That's great. Steven Stambulia, listen, we appreciate your input today. Fascinating conversation, and my guess is one that a lot of people haven't given a lot of thought to. So thank you.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good day.
Yeah, we will do it.
Be well.
Gunowners.org is the website. People can go check them out. And what were you saying there, Bo?
I said, enjoy your ribeyes.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's a thing.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what a whole other conversation.
The meat sweats.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Okay. That's it. Okay. We're wrapping up the show now, Mark. I need to go eat a ribeye.
I think you do. I think I want to go eat a ribeye. I've got to call you. I'm going to call you too, Bo, off the air and find out more details on this meat eater diet or whatever.
Well,
you call
it is Father's Day weekend, so.
It is. We all have to have a steak because it's Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to everybody.
We'll go enjoy it now, too. So that's going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.